This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Here we go. The final hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663 is the number to be a part of the action. You can text that number. You can call that number and get on the air. 844-326-3663. Want you to do that. Want you to be a part of the show. Show's better when you're a part of it. Show's fine when you're not. Show's better when you are. I am going to echo something that we talked about back in the first hour of the show because it was 3 hours ago, and I want to. If you missed the opening salvo of the show, Major League Baseball has announced that 60% of spring training games, which kick off here in about a week, 60% of spring training games will have ABS, automatic balls and strikes, available, the tech available to be used. Now, the games themselves will not be fully umpired by the ABS system. The ABS system will be available in a challenge format. When a team is playing in one of the stadiums that are outfitted with ABS technology, teams will receive two challenges within that game. Only three people can challenge any given call: the pitcher, the catcher, or the batter. Two challenges per game. If you get a challenge right, you retain the challenge. If you get the challenge wrong, you lose the challenge. It will use the Hawkeye technology. That technology is currently used by NASCAR to measure their cars down to the fraction of a millimeter. It is currently used by tennis. That's if you ever watch Wimbledon or whatever. Tennis players can challenge whether a ball's in or out, and they, down to fractions of a millimeter, can show you exactly on the tennis court where the ball hit, in or out, whatever. Same technology, just tailored for baseball. Twice per game, a pitcher, a catcher, or a batter can tap the helmet and challenge a call. If you get a reversal, you maintain the challenge. If the call was correct, you lose that challenge. There are no extra challenges in extra innings of the spring training game. I'm fine with this. I don't love it. I would honestly like to see spring training utilize all three methods. I would like to see spring training games where there is no ABS. I would like to see spring training games where the ABS is on a challenge system. And I would like to see spring training games that are fully umpired by ABS.
I swear, I know you're being serious, but every time I hear IBS when you say ABS.
That's a very different thing.
And it's
also
it's,
challenging, though.
It's driving me crazy.
I don't suffer from that, thankfully. Lead singer of my band does. About once a year, we'll be on stage.
Wow, you didn't need to tell about...
It's okay. He does it. It's nothing. It's a secret, all right? We're in our 40s, bud. All right? Like, we own it now. About once a year, he'll walk over to me and he'll tap me and he'll be like, hey, you need to sing the next four or five songs. And then he'll just leave the stage. I'm like, I got it. Got it. Anyway, I'd like to see ABS umpire entire games, every strike and ball called by ABS. I'd like to see some of the spring games where it's on a challenge system like it is set up. I'd like to see some of the games with no ABS at all. And I would like to be able to compare and contrast all of those games at the end of spring training and let everybody decide what they like the best. We've gone over this Robo One thing a gazillion times. I got news for you. We're going to go over it a gazillion more every time that whatever incredible protege of Angel Hernandez goes out there and starts ringing guys up on strikes that are 2 feet outside, or every time I hear an announcer, as I did one time, say, fastball right down the middle for ball one. Because play-by-play guys are just straight up calling umpires out at this point. This conversation's going to come back up because a strike's a strike and a ball's a ball. And it should be called that way, not, well, I guess that's his zone today. Now, I issued a challenge earlier this morning. Had a couple people attempt to take it. In my ever so humble opinion, they all failed miserably. We got a new audience here in the final hour of the show at 9:05 a.m. I'll issue the challenge once more. For those of you that are anti-robo-umpire, can you make an argument for keeping umpires in the game, especially if that argument involves the words human element? Can you make an argument for that, of which the core argument doesn't sound like, I actually like bad calls? Because that's what the human element is, at least in my opinion. The human element, you saying, I like the human element, is you saying, I like bad calls. I like that batters have to adjust to balls that are not called balls, strikes that are not called strikes. I like that players on the baseball diamond can have the entire game influence, impacted, and affected by a referee who didn't get the boom boom from the lady last night and is having a real bad day and decided, you know what? This pitcher ticked me off. He looked at me the wrong way. So the strike zone, it's an inch inside today. Or a pitcher who the night, or excuse me, an umpire who the night before went out to the whiskey bar, tied one on, knocked a handful of bourbons down the chute, and then goes, oh, God, my head hurts. I don't want to be here today. Let's widen this strike zone out and get a couple of extra Ks in here and go home early. That, to me, is the human element. Here's where I come from. There are only two groups of people that should impact the outcome of a game. Team A and Team B. The umpires should not be part of that. And any spot in the game, and we're specifically talking about baseball now, mainly because in a lot of other sports, if we're being honest, fouls are subjective largely. In baseball, at least with balls and strikes, they're not. It's either a ball or it is a strike. The runner is either safe or the runner is out. And we have ways of dialing in and getting that call right most of the time. So, I am issuing the challenge to you, dear listeners. Make an argument to keep human umpires. And if that argument involves the human element, please do it in a way that does not boil down to, I just like bad calls. If a pitcher throws a pitch and he gets it over the plate, he deserves credit for a strike if the batter doesn't hit it. If a pitcher throws a pitch that is not over the plate, he deserves a ball if the batter doesn't swing at it. If the batter sees a strike and watches it and doesn't swing, he should be penalized for not knowing that it was a strike and not swinging the baseball bat. If a batter sees a ball that is an inch off the plate and decides not to swing at it, he should be awarded with a ball added to the count. He should not be penalized because the umpire is hungover, tired, pent up, just doesn't like him because he made a joke about his mama back in the day, or bad at his job, as a bunch of them have been over the years. Can you make me an argument that is anti-robo-ump if that argument uses the human element? Can you convince me that your argument does not essentially boil down to, I like when baseball players have to fight through bad calls? Here's my counter to that. If an umpire makes a bad call, and you call it a human element aspect of the game, what has happened is the umpire has had a direct say on the outcome of that play. On any given pitch, there are three people that should have an impact on the outcome. The pitcher who throws it, the catcher who called it, the batter who swings or doesn't swing, takes a ball, commits a strike, whatever. That's it. No one else should have an impact. Now, you can go, because I've heard this argument used before. Wait a minute, Rob. The fans up in the stands, swing, bada, bada, bada. Don't they have an impact? Hey, that's elements of the game. But it doesn't have a direct impact. There's not a volume meter up in the stadium that they say, hey, fans, if you get us over 101 decibels, we'll call a strike. That's not a direct impact. That is an indirect impact, and I'm fine with indirect impact.
That would be kind of cool if they did that.
Actually, it would be kind of dope. Like exhibition, maybe all-star games. Maybe that's another way we can get people involved. But we don't do that. That's an indirect impact on the game. I got no problem with indirect impact on the game, right? Having different stadiums have different dimensions, I don't necessarily love it, but it's an indirect impact on the game. But if a pitcher gets the ball over the rubber, that's a strike. And if it's outside the rubber, that's a ball. That's not subjective. That is what it is. It is a clearly defined outcome of that pitch. Every pitch should be impacted by the pitcher throwing it, the catcher catching it and calling it, and the batter swinging or not swinging. Good eye, batter. Good eye. That's it. The umpire should have no say in whether it's a ball or a strike. It either is or it is not. No one should have any say because it's not something you have a say about. It is objectively a ball or it is objectively a strike. When we start talking about calls and penalties and rules that are subjective, now, okay, we can kind of have the human element conversation. There's not as much of that as you might think there is. There's not as much of the subjective calls in sports as you think that there is. Most of it is objective. We've just elected to say it's subjective. The concept of a holding penalty in the NFL is clearly defined in the rule book. We've just kind of said that, you know, if the hands are inside the numbers, we're not going to call that. But if they're outside the numbers, we will call that. Well, some referees will call that and others won't. But if it's out here, it's definitely a hold. That's not technically subjective. We've all kind of agreed in the social contract that we will treat it as subjective, but it's not. But there are some things that are clearly and objectively what they are. Did a football player, while running around that, maybe it's a hold, maybe it's not, subjective call, did he step out of bounds? That's not subjective. Either he touched the paint and he's out of bounds, or he didn't touch the paint and he's inbounds. That's something that we should get right 100% of the time, and we don't. Is a ball fair or foul? That's not subjective. There's no, well, you know, I think it wasn't. I think it was spinning this way. It's either foul or it's fair. We should get that right 100% of the time. And pitches are either balls or strikes. And we should get that right 100% of the time, or at least as close to that as we can get it. I have interacted with this Hawkeye technology that they are going to have in 60% of MLB spring training games. I've directly interacted with it. Last year, I went up to a NASCAR garage in Charlotte. They had this tech installed because that's how they measure the NASCAR stock cars. I got a demo of it. It was incredible. They drive one of the stock cars. They'd set it on a weigh plate. This weigh plate was structured to provide a perfectly flat, perfectly level surface for the car to sit on. And then they would take this Hawkeye technology and they would beam lasers all over the car. And then you could look at a computer and this car could tell you to the fraction, this computer could tell you to the fraction of a millimeter how high the skirt of the car was off of the ground, how high the roof of the car was off the ground, how far from nose of the car to rear fin on the car was. It could tell you which tire was maybe a little bit lighter, had a little more weight. It could tell you the exact camber of the tires, the angle at which they are tilted in to account for the curve of the racetrack. The guy who was giving me this tour walked around to the back of the car and he said, "Watch those numbers. I want to show you how ridiculous this technology is." He walked around to the back of the car and he set his hand out. He didn't press down. He didn't slap his hand down. He literally just set his hand on the top of the NASCAR vehicle. And I'm watching the computer screen. I watch him do it. I turn to the screen and I watch all of these numbers start to change. Fractions of a millimeter. That's how accurate this tech is. We have the ability to track a baseball. Lonzo, I don't remember what the context of it was, but a couple of weeks ago, I brought up the fact that there are cameras now that are readily available, by the way. This isn't like space age Star Wars technology that cost you $1 billion anymore. They're just people on YouTube that have this. There are cameras that record at a million plus FPS, frames per second. These cameras are so ridiculously fast that you can fire a bullet out of a gun and this camera can pick up the spin of a rifle round leaving the barrel of a rifle. You can see the bullet spin. This thing is so fast that if you shoot a bullet into an apple, you can watch the bullet disappear into the apple and you can watch the apple explode, not just explode like poof, gone. You can watch the front of the apple explode while the back's intact, and then the middle of the apple explode while the back's intact, and then the back of the apple explode, and then you can see the bullet spiral out the back of the apple. Go to YouTube, search million FPS camera. They're incredible. We can just put that in there and we can get an exact read. Put one up top, put one on the sides. We can get an exact read of exactly where that ball crossed the plate. You combine that with the Hawkeye technology, we can get a ball and a strike 99.9% of the way correct. 99.9% of the time, we can get a ball and a strike exactly correct. Why would we not do that? Well, I like the human element. Then I'm begging you, say that you like incorrect calls. Say that you like seeing the athletes not be rewarded for positive performance or penalized for negative performance. Say that you think an umpire on any given pitch should have more power over the outcome of the game than the players playing the game, because that is the argument that you are making. And I challenge any of you listening to this show later on when I post this on the internet, I challenge any of you to give me an argument that isn't human error, a.k.a. I like when umps have more power over the result of a play than players. Because that is what you're arguing. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
For the record, I was going to bump on from this conversation, and I will, but I do want to address something that we were talking about during the stream or during the break on the stream. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Fan Upstate on Twitter, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Join us. We're live all 4 hours, all 5 days a week, unless there's not 5 days in the week like there is this week, in which case we're four, in which case we're live 4 days a week, all 4 hours. You're welcome. We got Joey B, we got James, we got Wesley, we've got P1 Armada Elitist Kane in here today. We've had Miss April stop by, Trey, Steven, Coach Mitch have all been in here. William's been in here, Zach's been in here. We got 82 people watching the show right now. We'd love to make it 83 with you. That's a personal appeal. We were talking during the break, and Lonzo said, in a take that I've heard before, not an unfair one. Lonzo said, hang on, Rob Brown, what you're doing if you go to a fully automated baseball game, which I am in favor of, what you're doing is you're making the umpires irrelevant. He said you're effectively costing their job. I went and looked it up. Major League Baseball has, on average, roughly 76 full-time umpires and then a handful more that are emergencies, right? Like three guys go down in a weekend. They got a couple of guys on the phone that then go, hey, you want to come ump a game this weekend? 76 guys. They're not irrelevant because a major part of sports is theatrics, right? Like it's theatrics. Sports are soap operas for sports, for us, for fans. Here's the thing. Here's your scenario. World Series. Game 7, bottom of the ninth, home team down one. Say it's the Yankees taking on the Dodgers because that's what's going to happen this year. I hate it. Aaron Judge at the dish, 2 ounce bottom of the ninth, man on second, Yanks down one. He's staring down. He's looking out there, and here comes the pitch from Shohei Ohtani, who somehow ended up drawing game 7. Shut up. It's hypothetical. Shohei. Phew. Throws a heater in there. Aaron Judge watches it. Boom. I have no idea. Ball strike? I don't know. They're not putting the ABS on the screen. They don't have to. Let's keep the theatrics. Back behind the plate is head umpire and crew chief Lonzo Reitzel. Lonzo's back there. He's crouched down behind the catcher. He watched this pitch. Boom. And then what do we all see watching at home? Because sports is drama. drama is theatrics. What do we see? We see Lonzo look down at his little Apple wristwatch or push the little headset thing into his ear or whatever we decide to use as an indicator. Lonzo watches the pitch. He looks down at his little wristwatch and he waits. And then he stands up and the world waits with bated breath because we don't know. And then Lonzo Reitzel looks dead into the camera, stares into our souls. All 330 million Americans tuned in for Game 7 of the most iconic World Series we've ever seen. And then Lonzo goes, "Hitter!" and rings up Aaron Judge, and the LA Dodgers win the World Series on a backwards K from Aaron Judge. That was a strike called a strike. We all hung on what? We hung on the human. We hung on Lonzo making the call. Lonzo didn't make the calls in the determination of whether it was a ball or it was a strike. But what Lonzo did do is provide us with that just that briefest second of drama while we wait. Was it a ball? Was it a strike? And then when he goes and what's your strikeout move? I feel like you're a ripcord guy.
No, I don't like this scenario because you have rendered the umpire less important than the mascot. And it's just there. If you get to that point, there's not going to be an umpire back there. There's no point. He's not doing anything. Theatrics? Really? You're going to bring that into baseball? I thought baseball was a pure sport.
It is.
Not about theatrics.
Dude, every sport's about theatrics. Every sport's about theatrics. Every time I go to a Braves game, they light off fireworks every time anybody does anything. It's all about it's always been about theatrics. Babe Ruth pointing that bat out to the center field wall, calling a shot. Theatrics. Hank Aaron hitting that record-breaking home run and having a couple of guys run out there carrying an American flag, patting him on the back. That's theatrics. It's all theatrics. Barry Bonds going yag into the bay. Theatrics. It's all theatrics. Every sport is theatrics. Theatrics are what makes sports fun. We all consider different elements of it the theatrics. For some of us, a 84-yard Hail Mary touchdown with a stellar basket over-the-shoulder catch is the theatrics. For some of us, the quarterback getting into the defensive lineman's face and chirping him up is the theatrics. We all find our theatrics in different places, but sports is theatrics. The umpire ain't relevant in terms of the actual calling of the ball or the strike, which is good because umpires will not be as efficient and effective as the robo-ump. For the record, that is precisely and exactly why I would love for spring training baseball to have some games that have zero ABS, some games that have ABS on the challenge system, and some games that are fully ABS, because then at the end of the spring training period, games that don't count to a team's march to a World Series, we can look at all three groups of games, and we can go, you know what, the ABS over here in the challenge system, it slowed the game down 2 minutes, but we felt like the drama was still there in the calls. However, players were able to correct awful calls. And over here in the fully ABS automated game, the game was actually X amount of minutes faster. And while there was a little bit less drama, the calls were right. And over here in the games that were fully human being called, we had a lot more bad calls, but the drama was ramped up because umpires understand how to inject a little drama into the game. That's not their job. That's the player's job. So Zoe back there gets to stand up. And he gets to, I think he's a pull the ripcord strike guy, like a chest high pull the ripcord guy. All right. He might be a big fist pump guy. I don't know.
Except I'm not trying to ruin it. I would not do the job because I'm out there. I would rather be a professional wrestler or an actor than be out there and basically be doing what the computer tells me to do. I'm not going to do that. And I don't think there are a lot of people who go, okay, how much? Okay, I'll do it. But I'm not doing that.
Let's see here. What's the latest salary? What is the salary?
Oh no, that salary will go down because they no longer have any relevance. So that salary would go down major.
Major League Baseball umpires, depending on experience, can earn anywhere from $150,000 to $450,000 per year. The average salary sits around $300,000. Tell you what, MLB, for $100,000, I'll travel the country and be your little theater boy. I'll travel the country doing whatever my little Apple Watch tells me to do. Oh, it's green, strike three.
How them guys going to live? They're used to a certain lifestyle, and you're trying to put them on the unemployment line.
There it is. used to a certain lifestyle. Certain lifestyle. All right. Most of these guys are also
uncaring. You are unfeeling, and it's hurtful to be in a room with someone who doesn't care about their fellow human.
Let me ask you a question. When a Major League Baseball player goes out there and he bats 170 on the career and they cut his ass from the team, do you go, oh, that poor guy, he has a certain standard of living and now he can't make it because he was bad at his job? No! You go, sucks to be you, buddy, get better.
No, see, I'm a compassionate human being. I feel bad when anyone loses their job. Even if they deserve to lose their job, I still feel bad that they lost their job.
Sports!
I don't celebrate when an umpire loses his job like you did last year.
He didn't lose his job. He retired.
Okay.
And also, damn right, I threw a whole ass party. Angel Hernandez sucked. And he negatively impacted the game. I don't traditionally celebrate people losing their job. Traditionally. Except when there's one criteria, one qualification. You know what that is? When you, being bad at your job, start to negatively influence and impact everybody else. That's when I'll celebrate you losing your job. And I don't care what profession you're in. I don't. Radio broadcaster, federal authority, garbage man, whatever. If you are bad at your job and it has a negative impact, a detrimental impact on people around you, then yes, you gotta go. I don't even have to say I'll celebrate it. But like, I don't really feel like I don't feel a sense of sympathy. You're making people's lives worse. And yes, maybe this is selfish of me. I'm a selfish guy. What do you want? When I drive to Atlanta, Georgia, and head over to Truist Park to go watch the Atlanta Braves play, I pay money for a ticket, and I pay money for parking, and I pay money for food, and I pay money for beer, and then I pay money for beer, and then I pay money for beer, and then I pay money for a hotel room, pay money for gas to drive back and forth. I pay a lot of money to go to Atlanta Braves game. You know what I want to see? I want to see the outcome of the game determined by the Atlanta Braves and whoever they're playing, not Angel Hernandez. And I have watched Angel Hernandez be the deciding factor in too many games. And every time he does, and he would ring up a ball that's 4 inches off the plate as a strike, or he'd ring up a strike that was 4 inches off the plate, or vice versa, whatever I said, I don't even know where I lost that. I heard Angel Hernandez and I saw red. Every time that happens, he's negatively impacting a pitcher who is getting his contract determined by his statistics and his performance. And they don't say, well, this guy threw for, 114 strikeouts last year, but he would have had 119, but he had two Angel Hernandez games. Or this guy threw for 124. This guy struck out at the plate 210 times last year, but 17 of them were on bad calls outside. They just say this is what it is. That's negatively impacting people. It is impacting the players, it is impacting the managers, and if nothing else, because I'm a selfish S of a B, it's impacting me as a fan. That's it. That's it. That's the whole take. If we have a way to call objective calls with 100% effectiveness, we ought to do it. There's no reason not to. If tomorrow somebody comes up with a robo car that actually works, a self-driving vehicle that actually works, and we can prove it empirically, we can run the test, we can put them on the interstates, and tomorrow they say, hey, if people stop driving, we'll have zero car accidents and nobody will die from vehicle accidents anymore. As much as I love driving, it's one of my favorite things, I would give up driving if we could go 99% decrease and accidents and fatalities caused by vehicles. I'd 100% give up something that I love for that. Okay? Sorry, 76 umpires. If we can do it better in a way that allows the game to be called the way that the game should be called for the athletes to determine the outcome, not the dudes in the visors, we do that. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Few more minutes here on the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate, repping it up, the final segment. I have a couple more bits of sound that I want to pay for you on the way out here. I have referred to myself on this show, sometimes sarcastically and sometimes very genuinely, as Dr. Love. Because if there's one thing Rob Brown knows, it's the ladies Okay. Hello, ladies. You know who I think may be more romantically inclined by me? And I just found this from a 22-second social media clip that I got to tell you. As a straight white man, I heard this and I'm like, swoon. I'd go for him.
I gotta stop you and point out that you've been borderline gangster speak for the last couple segments. Like you've gone straight up New York. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if it's on purpose or if you're getting that thing, that disease or whatever it is, where you start talking in another accent.
Foreign accent syndrome. That's a real thing.
Yeah,
that's a real thing. You take a head injury and suddenly you just have a foreign accent. It's a real thing. It's wild. No, I don't know what caused it. I get real emotional over Robo-umps. All right. I'm impartial to Robo-umps. I'm a big fan, but I'm slowing it down here. Because this segment's for the gals. This segment's for the ladies. This segment's for the ladies of the Armada. I know you're out there. And while I appreciate you tuning in to be a part of our show, part of our program, there may be a fella out there in the world of athletics that somehow is even more seductive, sultry, and impressive than me. Boban Marjanovic. Because, you know, Valentine's Day, just a handful of days ago. And Boban, he decided that he, on his social media, was going to send out a special little post for the gals. Compete with that, fellas.
Why is there not more? Why?
Because the world can't handle that much seduction in one Instagram post.
I wanted more.
If he'd have done more than that, there would have been ladies' undergarments hitting the ground across America.
So is this a cover of a song? Because I didn't recognize this song.
It sounds like... But I don't think it is, but it sounds like Shallow, right? Tell me something, girl.
You just don't know what he said there, do you?
No, I don't. Forgot the lyrics to that song, too, though.
And then nothing, man. And then nothing. I want to hear the rest of the chorus. I mean, he brought us there. He got us right there and hooked you, and you just want to hear the rest, and it's gone. It's disappointing.
I want you to think about this, though.
You just teased everybody listening right now. We could have heard the whole song.
For the record, that's all he posted. This wasn't like Rob cut it off after 22 seconds because that's all. If that was a 17-minute song, it had just been this whole segment. I'd have just been like, everybody... Sit back, light a candle, grab you some chocolate-covered strawberries, put your hands around your loved one, and listen to Boban. I think Boban only posted 22 seconds of Boban singing a love song because it's all we could handle. I'd like to point out that two straight old white fellas sitting in this room are sitting here going, that's it, Boban? That's all you're giving to us? Which means... that those of you out there that are romantically inclined towards the male gender, I can't imagine that you're not titillated right now. I can't imagine that you're not a little hot under the collar, so to speak. Because that's the definition of seduction.
You know when you hear that song that it touches you somewhere and you're just like, yeah. This is my song for now, at least maybe forever. This is my song, and it had the potential to do that, and then it just stopped.
I also want more Boban. I want the rest of that song. You know why I want the rest of that song? Because I feel like if I go home today, you know, the wife doesn't come home for a couple of hours after I do. She gets home around 5. If I go home, and she comes home. And I like light a candle, cook her a little dinner. Maybe I order out. She's a big sushi gal. Get a little sushi into the crib. All right, pop open a bottle of her favorite rosé. I open up the cork on my favorite Cabernet. And then I just put a little Boba and Love song on in the background, I feel like Rob Brown's going to come in here a very, very happy man tomorrow.
By the way, I am researching, trying to find more of the song. It is Shallow, by the way.
I figured it was. It sounds like it.
Which I've never heard. So,
you ever heard Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga singing Shallow?
No, it's from the third remake of a movie.
It is from the third remake of a movie. You are correct.
Do you remember the name of the movie?
It was...
A Star is Born.
Star is Born. I was in my head, I was like, superstar? That's a different thing. But I'm telling you, lady comes home, you got a candle lit, you got her favorite wine open, you got a nice little catered dinner sitting out on the kitchen table, all right? You turn the lights down low, she opens the door, and you just push play.
By the way, apparently he was singing to his wife, and Maxi Kleber was playing the piano. So another guy.
Another
NBA guy.
Another guy.
Playing it. And there's several other things of him singing. I'm not going to bring any of them up without actually hearing them. Other songs. So there could be a potential album out there that we could have on our Spotify right now.
Dude. I need Boban. Listen, from me to you, buddy. From me to you. I need you to just cut that album. And I need you to cut that album now. I need you to help the fellows of America out right now. Because if you cut that album, just Boban sings the love songs. Maybe walk us through the generations of the love songs. All the greatest love song hits. If the 7-4 love machine that is Boban cut that album and dropped it, the lady comes home, I'm hitting play on the Boban machine, and I'm telling you, I'm going to come in here tomorrow, I'm going to be pinging off the walls, I'm going to feel like $1 million, because I want more of that. And if I want more of that, I can't imagine that the ladies aren't losing their mind over it. I don't know what to tell you. I genuinely feel like Boban, the love song album, might be the greatest selling album of all time. That's just world class is what that is. Thank you, Boban. Me and you. For sure. I was supposed to do that, get out at 9:45, give us like 4 more minutes before we get to what the X is going on. I don't know where to go from that. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do after that. I don't know how I follow that up. I don't know what it is that I say.
Apparently, he released a song called I Just Wanna.
And me too, Boban. That's why I'm playing your music.
And it was released this last year. It's 2 minutes and 32 seconds long. I don't know, man.
I don't know. I don't know if we got the willpower to make it through that.
It's up to you, because it's taking a risk. Without listening, I don't know if it's something, you know.
Give me.
Suitable for
skip
radio.
It somewhere in the middle and give me 15 seconds.
All right, let me take it down in case there's some commercials first.
Skip it somewhere in the middle. Let's.
And there
let's
were get, commercials, so that was a good move on my part.
Let's skip just random 15 seconds somewhere in the middle of the song, and I want to see how many of us are able to resist the magic, the pure romance, the pure seduction, the pure audio sex that is Boban.
Wow.
Not what I thought we were going with here. Come on, Boban, give it to me, buddy. So is Boban's song just him saying, dance?
You told me to go to the middle, so I did.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead a little bit more. All right, so it's like...
I'm going to go to the beginning.
It's like Club EDM, but just Boban saying, dance. So it's just Boban saying dance.
Yeah,
for the record...
I'm disappointed, but...
I'm getting the impression that Boban knows that America can only handle so much of Boban at a time.
So he has so much sex appeal, he can say one word and they can make a song out of it.
Dance. Are you kidding me? I gotta tell you. Hey, I make jokes. I'm gonna go ahead and tell all of you. I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. You want a little Rob Brown? I lack a lot of self-confidence, all right? I've never approached a woman in a bar in my life. I just don't have that in me. I ain't got that dog in me. I don't believe in me at all. I have to trick myself into doing this job every day. I think I suck at it, to tell you the truth, all right? Like, I put up the charade of, like, oh, I'm awesome. I think I suck, and that's okay. I fight through it every day. I've been in the game 17 years. I'm clearly doing okay. Y'all, I've never questioned myself more than I do after listening to Boban drop that love song. I got to tell you, if I get home and there's a little note on the desk from the wife and she's like, hey, thanks for a wonderful 3 months of wedded bliss, but I'm leaving you to go find Boban, I'd be like, that checks out. That makes sense. We had a good run. We had a good run and then Boban dropped a hit. How do I compete with that? How do I in any way, shape, or form try to convince any woman on America that I have anything on the 7-4 love machine that is Boban? Singing that? Singing like that? Like, I'm damn close to seduced. That's art. That's poetry. That's romance. That's seduction all wrapped up into 22 seconds of maybe the greatest love song ever recorded. Maybe the greatest love song ever dropped. Boban. On one hand, I'm real mad at you because you just set an unrealistic and impossible standard for the men of America to match up to. And on the other hand, I'm mad at you because I liked it. Thanks, Boban. That's all I had.
Yeah, I didn't want to push a button because you said the funniest thing you've ever said to me. So, I mean... I don't even believe in me. That was just so good. It really was. All right, the first, because it's a lie. All right, the first thing that's exiting is Ricky Saints.
It's only partly.
It was great, though. It was.
Ricky Saints, a.k.a. the artist formerly known as Ricky Starks, made his debut last night in WWE's NXT, left AEW. He actually, very interestingly, did say that part of the reason he decided to bail on AEW was that some older veterans began getting involved in his creative direction, which was about the same time that Ricky Starks disappeared from TV. However, Ricky Starks, I did find this out. Ricky Starks is his actual legal real-life name, and since WWE wants to own the trademark of the name that they perform under, they had to change it to something. Ricky Starks, obviously being from New Orleans, they just stuck Saints on the end. Sure, I get to watch more Saints lose routinely.
That's wow. I mean, hopefully, eventually.
I actually really like Ricky Starks.
Yeah, so do I. Hopefully,
I think he could be a dude.
Eventually, they'll go back to the Vince way of doing things, and he'll just be Ricky. No longer Ricky Saints. Are they going to change his ring gear?
He got Ricky Saint. That's Saints is, yes, not a last name.
Yeah, Ricky Saint works
Ricky
better.
Ricky Saint would have been fine.
Yeah, it absolutely would be. All right, the next thing that's exiting is the Big Ten.
I don't know if this is why.
Think basketball. Think basketball.
Is it Mick Cronin? I bet it's Mick Cronin.
It's not. It was about Tom Izzo. But if you want to play that, Mick Cronin.
Yeah, it's like a minute and a half. I'm going to save it for tomorrow. Mick Cronin exploded in a press conference the other night. It's absolutely iconic. Sound. It'll be in tomorrow's audio blitz because I just ran out of time today. Tom Izzo, I believe, is he Big Ten all-time winningest coach now?
I believe he is. Now.
Yeah,
yes.
He's very good at coaching basketball. The Michigan State Spartans, they had a tank dive earlier in the year, and now they have rebounded and are well on their way back to being a single-digit seed, an upper single-digit seed in the NCAA tournament. It's not a bad little Sparty basketball team. They found a little bit.
I hate when people say little. I really do. It's so demeaning.
Whatever you say, luxurious soft.
There we go. Dude, that really does work, without a doubt. All right, the next thing that's X-ing is, but you said you were taking it, but then you called me that, so that means it's mine now. Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani is X-ing or trending or Twittering or whatever, because Shohei Ohtani's throwing a baseball. And, you know, there's a handful of athletes that them just doing a thing that is very routine for the job is a thing. Shohei Ohtani, of course, missed last year as a pitcher because he had to get the old Tommy John. He is getting ready to pitch. Y'all, the Dodgers pitching staff, they might give up like 7 runs all year long. And if Shohei Ohtani comes back in any way, shape, or form, even 90% of what he was as a Cy Young caliber pitcher before the elbow injury, I have said before and I'll say again, Shohei Ohtani is the greatest baseball player of all time. When people say that about like LeBron and basketball, I'm like, all right, you know, yeah, it doesn't matter if you believe it. There's arguments out there. When people say, oh, you know, this guy's the greatest football player, Tom Brady, greatest football player of all time. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with you, but like a lot of people will, and they got good arguments about it. There is no argument for Shohei Ohtani. He is the greatest baseball player that has ever walked the face of this planet. End of sentence.
Well, people are really upset about watching him in the new uniform. So that's why it's excellent.
The new uniform?
Well, in the Dodgers uniform.
Well, he's with the Dodgers last year. He was just a designated hitter, so he was only out there antagonizing people on one side of the plate. Yeah. This year, he'll be doing it on both.
People are still angry about it. Enough for it to
well,
be
okay. So actually, I do know what this is at least correlated to. About a week ago, Rob Manfred said, "You know, I think baseball fans are upset that the Dodgers. You know how much money the Dodgers have in deferred money, not paid money, deferred money. The Dodgers have. Somebody put up the stat. I'm not going to be exact, but I'm going to be real close. Lonzo, the Dodgers have more deferred money on their roster." Than the GDP of like 32 countries on planet Earth. There are 32 countries on planet Earth with a lesser economic value than the Dodgers have in deferred money. And Shohei Ohtani is obviously a big part of that. Yesterday, Rob Manfred came out like a week after saying, oh, you know, I see people are upset and we're going to talk about it a little bit. And it's like, okay, like I get it. The Dodgers are playing within the rules of Major League Baseball. We'll talk about this tomorrow. Dodgers are playing within the rules of Major League Baseball. They're not doing anything wrong. Every team has the opportunity to do what the Dodgers are doing. Dodgers just want to do it. Nobody else does. Understandable. Yesterday, Rob Manfred came out and he's like, they're not doing anything wrong. It's not against the rules. We know, Rob. We know it's not against the rules. We're not upset that they're breaking rules. We're upset that the rules suck and the rules create this world where teams like the Dodgers in the number one TV market with more incoming revenue than any other team in baseball can defer the GDP of like a third of the countries on planet Earth.
All right. So as we were talking about it, luxurious softness pops into my mind. TMZ just posted a video of Shohei Ohtani trying to parallel park, which might be why he's exiting. It took a while. That's all I'm saying. It took a while, and I just watched the entire film. He got there, though. He got there. Parallel parking's not easy.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Well, you got one of those. You got one of them vehicles where you push a button and it parallel parks for you.
I just learned how to do it.
Wow. So condescending.
Did you not have driver's ed?
Condescending.
Did you not have driver's ed?
By the way, I never said I couldn't do it. I said a lot of people had difficulty with it, including Shohei Ohtani, which they drive on the other side of the road in Japan, don't they?
I honestly don't know the answer.
Which
to that
would
question.
Mean like you'd be paralleling the opposite anyway for him.
Have a good rest of your day. Thanks for being here. You're all amazing people. Tell your friends about us. We're trying to get rich and famous. Don't drink or drive. I'll punch you in the face. Goodbye.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.